Joining me on the February edition of Our Town is a non-interventional cardiologist. He's Dr. Eric Muller. He's with Peace Health, Peace Harbor Medical Center, actually with Peace Health Riverbend. Comes down here every couple of weeks. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Well, good. Glad to have you here. Now, Dan Goldblatt was supposed to be here with us, too. Do you want to talk a little bit about what's been happening with the cardiology department here in Florence? You and several of the other cardiologists, do you take turns coming down every couple of weeks?
Yeah, probably four or five of us come about once every 2 weeks. So in general, there's 3 or 4 days a week that we're here. In the last couple of years, we've added Catherine Bischoff, our advanced practitioner, who has moved to the area, and she actually provides daily care. So that's something that we've had now that we haven't had in the past, which is an open clinic 5 days a week.
What was the state of things when you first came on? You've been, what, 6, 7 years now?
Yeah, I'm just coming up on 8 years. And, you know, when I got here, I actually started at Reedsport. So we were covering both Florence and Reedsport. Since then, we've sort of focused on Florence just because of the higher patient population. And generally, the Reedsport patients can make the trip up without too much trouble. And we had sort of better facilities here. And so we've made this our focus. Then I was coming about once every 2 weeks to Reedsport. There were multiple providers coming to Florence. And since then, once again, we've consolidated. But we've definitely added more coverage because when I first started, they would have both a traveling APC and a traveling doc. And so it wasn't every day that we were here. So we've probably doubled our local presence on a week-to-week basis.
So when we talk about things, changes that have been made over time, are we mainly talking logistics? Are we talking machinery? Are we talking surgical care? What has changed over the 8 years since you've been here?
That's a really good question. I would say there's sort of two avenues to that. One is just our clinical presence, which we basically work at one of the outbuildings from the hospital. And that's sort of our clinic. We have all of our EKG equipment there. We have a device interrogation room. And so we can provide assistance to electrophysiology service line. And that has been the doubling of the clinical footprint that we have had here. The other piece, which is the hospital piece, which we don't actually cover Florence Hospital, although we consult with many of their doctors and, you know, work back and forth and, in fact, read some of their stress tests and other cardiac studies, we don't physically have a presence in the hospital. That's been spearheaded by Dan Goldblatt, who's going to be here, but I feel is ill today, unfortunately. And so much of the credit has to be given to him. His personal staff over there in the hospital, as well as their administrative partners, have really expanded the service line. When I first got here, they were doing stress tests, and echocardiogram, which would be, basic cardiac services. Since then, they've expanded to stress echoes, which is another type of stress test that's more accurate and very appropriate for certain patient populations. And I would say the more recent and really significant advancement's been cardiac CTA, which is basically a CAT scan of the heart. It's sort of like a way to do an angiogram where you put dye in the arteries, but you do it with a CAT scanner rather than actually having to put something inside the heart. And so that's provides a lot of extra data that wasn't available before. And as part of the cardiac CTA program, Dan and his team have also added calcium scoring, which is part of the cardiac CTA, but it's more of a prevention technique. It's used as part of the CTA to make sure the study will be good, but you can use it without the iodine dye to sort of get a rough estimate of plaquing in the coronary arteries, which allows us to do a lot of adjustments to risk modification.
So help me out with some of the terminology here, because I think I know, but I may be mistaken. Now, an EKG is where they put the diodes on your body.
And, you got it.
All right. And then the electrocardiogram is where it's sort of like an ultrasound.
Yeah. So I'm sorry. I got a little ahead of myself there. The EKG, you're right, just electrical signals of the heart, called a 12-lead EKG. We typically do those in clinic, and that's not on most patients in most visits unless there's really a reason not to, both for their current state as well as to get a baseline to compare future studies to. The echocardiogram is just a fancy way to say an ultrasound of the heart. And that's more, we get a visualization. We can see heart function. We can also look at function of the valves and look for cardiac structural abnormalities. Typically takes 30, 45 minutes, and it's done in the hospital.
Yeah, I've had a couple of those in the last year, so I'm familiar with those a little bit. Do you mind if we talk a little bit of medicine?
Absolutely.
As well? Okay. Because I had to deal with it, I'd like to know a little bit more about the left bundle branch block and what that is. And we were wondering, Dr. Hussein wasn't sure, but he said, you know, this happened after COVID vaccinations. He said he doesn't think that has anything to do with it. But what exactly is LBBB?
Yeah, so that's a good question. So the heart has multiple different systems. You know, it's a pump, and it has sort of the structural pumping function. It has plumbing or arteries that feed it oxygen and blood, and it has wiring in the walls of the heart. And that's where the left bundle branch comes in. The left bundle branch is one of the wires that goes from the middle of the heart to the lower chambers to carry a signal. And it can be damaged for a variety of reasons. In some people, it's just random bad luck and we don't find a reason. You can put scar tissue there over the years. Sometimes a heart attack can knock out that wire. And sometimes it can be associated with a weak heart muscle, whether or not the heart muscle weakened and that made the bundle appear, or you actually had a bundle and because of electrical abnormalities, then the heart weakened. It's a little bit of the chicken and the egg. So there's multiple potential reasons for it. It by itself is not the problem. It's more, is there a problem that came with it, is sort of how we look at it.
Now, my understanding is that with the LBBB, it kind of finds a workaround though, right? Finds a different way, maybe not as efficient, but different.
That's exactly correct. So the electricity, assuming you have any of the wires that work to the bottom of the heart, will find a way to get everywhere. And that's actually how we identify it, is we could look at different patterns on that EKG that we talked about earlier, where we put the leads on the chest. And the reason the left bundle branch looks different than a normal EKG is because electricity then all goes down the right bundle. You've got a left and a right one. And then instead of fast going to the left side, it has to slowly work its way from the right bundle through the muscle. And so that's what creates the slurred appearance on the EKG. And so it's easy to pick up.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Well, I was curious about that because,
yeah.
I mean, I don't feel any different. I don't know that people notice it. I mean, it's really not something you notice, is it, physically?
Some people do and some people don't. It does decrease the efficiency of the heart a little bit just because your heart's set to have electricity go in a very specific way. And as the heart squeezes, it squeezes with a certain geometry actually to the motion. And the left bundle will mess up that geometry somewhat. But sort of with everything system in our body, there's a little extra built in. So some people feel that difference, some people don't. And there are some people who the left bundle over time can make the heart weaken because it essentially the muscle doesn't like having electricity go in the way that it's not meant to. So that's something we monitor periodically with, you know, the echocardiogram or the ultrasound we talked about earlier. That can detect a weak heart muscle.
Okay. Now back to the cardiology aspect of what's happening at Peace Health and Peace Harbor here. Down the road, do you see any changes coming, any advances in the technology aspect of it, maybe more things that can be done locally that aren't being done currently?
That's a really good question. I think that the first step will just be to expand the service line to maximize the services that they just rolled out. The echocardiogram program is quite robust. The cardiac CTA is still at a low volume. And so we're trying to get that, get everyone more comfortable sort of at every step in the chain there. It's, you know, getting the staff used to doing it. You know, you're training nurses on how to do the study. The CT technicians, it's a different study for them. You typically have someone from industry there that helps tweak the settings on the actual scanner itself. We've also had help with radiologists who have added to their schedule to coordinate, to read those studies. Right now that's being done by, I believe, the Peace Health Radiology Group. And so I think the first step is just to get that expanded out because there's a large patient population who'd benefit from that. And not only will it help outpatient evaluation, but it also can help the inpatient chest pain evaluation and may help determine better who needs to be transferred over to Riverbend and who can be further managed here when they come in for chest pain.
And obviously the equipment like the CTA is a very expensive unit. I mean, because it's like an MRI chamber, right?
Exactly. Yeah, they're just two different technologies, and they have a scanner, a very high quality scanner for this. I don't know the exact price, but that's the only one that we'll probably have for a while.
Right.
And it will last from, you know, many years, probably 8 to 10 years at least, I would guess.
Is there a, I guess, is there a maintenance backup for things like that, or are they just that efficient that they don't really cause much problem?
So there's usually a tight integration with representatives from the company. There's always a service plan that goes with them, and so any maintenance can be rapidly deployed to the area. And you know, they would run under some regional. Probably they have their main group up in Portland, I would guess, and then they can dispatch parts rapidly, you know, to come repair scanners in the region. So
about how many patients a month are seen by the cardiologist out of Riverbend and Peace Health itself?
That's a good question. I typically see between 10 and 12 on my days here. And so we have approximately...
Times five.
Yeah. Well, there's probably 3 days that are doctors are here. So, you know, 30 a week. So there's probably 120 to 140 a month seen by physicians. And then Catherine has a more robust presence. She's here 5 days a week and probably sees roughly 10. So she could be seeing, you know, 150 to 200 patients a month on like a full month.
And then when my understanding, again, from Dr. Hussein is that, you know, there's really no end of care when you start having heart issues or stuff like that. There's always that constant, let's check up on it, let's keep up on it.
Yeah.
Is that something that is built into the practice the way that goes there? In fact, the ongoing seeing of the same patient?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So typically you make a decision for follow-up based upon what the condition is and how the patient's doing clinically at the visit. Usually that involves a follow-up between 6 and 12 months. If the doc thinks they personally need to deal with the issue, then they would have them come back and see them personally. If they feel that, it's appropriate to bounce back and forth with advanced practitioner, then, you would have Catherine assist with that. And, she provides a really high level of care. We've been very lucky to have her here. So she really helps our follow-up times and being able to get patients in a timely manner. And by seeing many of those follow-ups, she allows us to keep more new patients in our clinic so that we can keep wait times down for the primary providers out this way. But yes, you're right. Most cardiac conditions are chronic. There are a few things that you can fix in there and they're gone. But most of the time, you either follow them for quite a while or you reach sort of a stable place where there's no more cardiac changes without a change in symptoms. At that time, usually you refer them back to their primary on a stable cardiac regimen and then knowing that they're still plugged into our system. So, we can get them back. If we need to see them personally, we can bring them back into clinic or we could even answer a question over the phone that comes up.
Now, when you do that with your primary care physician, say the primary care physician orders a blood test or something like that, does that automatically get detoured to the cardiologist if a person is seeing one? Or is it only something that the primary care physician will send off if they see issues?
So that's a good question. We usually we have a records department who will seek out anything that's not in our own medical record. So when patients come for certain conditions, we have a checklist of items, both blood work-wise as well as study-wise, stress tests, echoes, things like that, that we like to have before the visit so that we can come in fully informed and, really make maximize the decision-making time that we have with the patient. So,
okay. Before I let you go, let's just briefly, let's kind of give some kudos to Dan and tell me a little bit about the importance of having him at Peace Harbors.
Yeah, I would say really Dan needs to get the most credit for the expansion of the in-hospital imaging, which has been quite a bit since I've been here. We first met, I want to say it was about 2 years ago, maybe a little more than that. We had a meeting over at the building where we do clinic with some of his staff as well. And he sort of laid out his plan for starting some of these things. And we've been meeting, almost on a monthly basis or so since to see how things are going. And, he's had to jump through. There's always a lot of hoops with these kind of things, getting, all the processes lined up. And there's just a lot of unforeseen things that have to be dealt with, whether it's cost related or staffing related or getting order sets right. And he's sort of been able to navigate to get all those through and to keep, the appropriate amount of pressure. also, we should give, you know, credit to the hospital administrators over here at Florence, because it wouldn't have happened without that interaction too. And I think I mentioned the radiologist already. And one person I haven't mentioned yet is Dr. King. She's our imaging director over at Riverbend. And she's subspecially trained in many forms of imaging, including MRI and cardiac CT. And she's helped to expand the program over at Riverbend. And she's also been, you know, integral in dealing with the actual industry workers over here to get the settings right on the scanner, as well as to optimize the protocols that we're giving to the patient, which is really easing the way for the rest of us to sort of, you know, work just to get patients on the scanner. So
as I look, I mean, for a community our size to have the access and have the things that we have here at Peace Harbor, we're probably a pretty lucky community, I would say.
I think that given the size of the town, it's they've done quite a lot of work to give the people here, you know, very good medical care. Mm-hmm. So, and it's, I, you know, appreciate being part of it. You know, we have grown with a tighter integration over here, even though we're sort of all part of the same network, because we physically don't go to hospital. There's always, you know, you always have to work on keeping those communication lines open. And I think that, you know, that's another way that Dan's really facilitated, is he sort of helped to draw us in and really keep us up on the day-to-day progress of what's going on over here. And it's really helped to provide, you know, new and high quality care.
Dr. Eric Muller is a non-interventional cardiologist at Peace Health. Thank you so much for dropping in.
Oh, thank you for your time. Really appreciate you having me.
Finishing up the February edition of Our Town, we'll talk with Delancey Foster. She's with CASA, an advocate for the children.